Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Sota Daf Dalin. We are holding on Daf Gimelam and Beis. We are at Tanur Rabbanan, two lines from the end of the page on Daf Gimelam and Beis. Today's share is sponsored by Dr. David Landerer, in honor of his wife and children, and Leila Nishmas, his mother, called the Bas Simcha, Allah Shalom. We thank him very much for the continued sponsorship of the Daf Yomi. What we're going to be learning today is the following. First, we're going to talk about the shear of time of Kidei Stira. How long does the man and the woman have to be alone in a room in order to have violated what's called stira, which is going to turn her into a suffix sota. So the Gemara is going to have ultimately what will boil down to 8 different opinions about what exactly is the shir tumma, the shir of stira. The Gemara is also going to ask contradictions within those opinions, because we have multiple brisos, and it seems that some of the Tanaim are saying different things in the two brisos, and we're going to try to reconcile those stiras. We're going to ask some detailed questions about each of those shiurim of kedei tumma, kedei stira. Then on Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to have 3 different explanations of how Ben Azai was able to come up with an opinion. Ben Azai was never married, and the Gemara says that all of these Tanayim that tell us how long it takes to have bia were speaking from their own personal experience. Ben Azai didn't have personal experience, so how was he able to come up with an opinion? So the Gemara is going to have 3 possible shitos. Then the Gemara is going to talk about the importance of netilas yadayim. Why does it come up over here, netilas yadayim? Because one of the shiurim of kedei stira, kedei tuma, has something to do with a kikar lechem. It has something to do with a loaf of bread. So once we're talking about a loaf of bread, so we talk about netilas yadayim on a loaf of bread. And then the Gemara is going to talk about, toward the end of the daf, the evils of gaiva, how terrible a midah gaiva is. So let's begin at 2 lines from the end of the page on daf Gimel Amud Beis. So we had mentioned in the Mishnah that there's a difference, we had quoted just recently, the difference between what's called Eidos Rishona and Eidos Achrona, right? We tried to make a kal v'chomer that if Eidos Rishona, which is what we call, which was a reference to Eidos of Stira, and does not aser her Isra Olam, and yet you still need Shnei Eidim, so you would think Eidos Tuma, Eidos Achrona, which is Eidos Tuma, which is something that's much more permanent, and you would think you for sure would need to take that seriously enough that it should require 2 Eidim. But we kept on using that terminology, Eidos Rishona, Eidos Achrona. So Tan Rabbanan, Ezohi, Eidos Harishona. What is Eidos Harishona? What are we referring to? So we mentioned it as we were doing it, but Zo Eidos Stira. That's a reference to the Eidos Stira, that the Eidos that saw this woman go alone into a room with this man. Eidos Achrona, Zo Eidos Tuma. And Eidos Achrona is Eidos Tuma. And the Sefer Mincha Sota, he says, what's the price of being Mechadish? From the Mishnah, it's Muchach, that Eidos Rishona is Eidos Stira, because it can't be about Eidos Hakinoi, because it says that Eidos Harishona is Eina Osarta Isur Olam, which makes it sound like it does aser her temporarily, just not permanently. Eidos Kinoi doesn't aser her at all. It's just stage one to be able to have the next stage aser her. So it's not even an Isur Sha'a. So of course, just from context alone, it's obvious that it's referring to Eidos Stira. What else could Eidos Rishona be referring to? So he suggests in the Mincha Sota that the beginning of the Brisa is really just a Hakadama to the Hemshech of the Brisa. So where the Brice is going to say, what is the sheer stira? And it's going to say, oh, the sheer stira is the sheer tuma. Oh, that's why we're referring to these things as Eidos Rishona and Eidos Achrona, as if they are linked together in some way. Otherwise, you would just call it stira and call it tuma. The fact that you call one first and one last means that that the first and the last have what to do with each other. That the amount of time for stira relates to the amount of time for tuma. So ask the Gemara, v'kama sheer stira. Okay, how long is that? What exactly is the sheer stira that would make her asura labayla? Kedei tuma, it's the amount of time that it would take to have tashmish. So it says more kedei bia. That's kedei tuma means kedei bia. Tuma in this context means bia. Kedei ha'ara. And bia is defined as what we call tchilas bia, which is a machlokas. What exactly that is? It's either nishikas ever or the amount of time of hachnasas atara. But they're just the beginning of the bia. Kedei akofas dekel, which happens to translate to the amount of time that it takes for a person to walk around a palm tree. Divrei Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Kedei Mezigas HaKos. That no, it's the amount of time that it takes to dilute a cup of wine with water. Rabbi Yoshua Omer, Kedei Lishtoso. It's the amount of time that it takes a person to drink a cup of wine. Tosfos raises the question, why does it mention Rabbi Yishmael before Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua, if after all Rabbi Yishmael was in the same generation as Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Akiva was a Talmud of Rabbi Eliezer? So why does Rabbi Yishmael, who comes in a later generation, get mentioned before Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua? So Tosos, in the end of Dibra Maskel Ben Azai, Tosos says that we didn't want to put Rabbi Yishmael according to the Seder Adoros, because then he would have been in between Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Akiva. And both Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Akiva talk about the Seder of Achilu Shtia, and he would have been mafsik with something that has nothing to do with Achilu Shtia. I mean, you have to look at the content of what they're saying as well. There are two ways you can organize the Shitos. You can organize the Shitos chronologically in terms of when they lived, or you can organize them logically based on the content of what they're saying. So Rabbi Yishmael had said that it's about Hakafas Dekel, which has nothing to do with Achila, but Rabbi Eliezer starts talking about Mezigas HaKos, Rabbi Yeshua about Shtias HaKos. So these are things that relate, that are much more relatable to each other. Ben Azai Omer, Ben Azai said, Kedei litzos beitza, the amount of time that it takes to roast an egg. Rabbi Kiva Omer, kedei legoma, the amount of time that it takes to swallow a roasted egg all at one time. Even the Tosfos points out, even though Rabbi Akiva was the Rebbe of Ben Azai, the Gemara says in Brachos Samach Beis, but he's only mentioned after Ben Azai in the Brisa, because Slias beitza comes before Gemias beitza. You'd have to roast the egg before you swallow the egg, so we're trying to go in that order. So Rabbi Yudva Mesera Omer, kedei legmar shalosh beitzim zo achar zo, the amount of time that it takes to swallow three eggs one after the other. Rabbi Elazar ben Yirmiyah Omer, kedei likshor gardinima, it's the amount of time that it takes for the weaver to tie a broken strand on his loom. Chanan ben Pinchas Omer, kedei shetoshet yadol toch pia litol kiseim, the amount of time that it would take her to stick her hand in her mouth to pull out a splinter that's between her teeth. Plema Omer, kedei shetoshet yadol lesal litol kikar, the amount of time that it would take a woman to put her hand into a bread basket and pull out a loaf of bread. And even though there's no full raya that the shir hara is the amount of time that it takes to pull a loaf of bread out of a basket, there's at least an allusion to it in Sefer Mishlei. So you see that an isha zona is in some way comparable to a kikar lechem. So that's merames to the fact that the shir zman of stira is that it takes to do maisa znus is the zman of a netila, of a kikar lechem, the amount of time that it takes to take a kikar lechem. The Sefer Arachami says, you know, all of these shiurim that each one is saying is, it's not just the shiur, the average shiur, because it could be that you could figure that out from svarim. Each one would not have to be mishair ba'atzmo. And also, each of them, of the Tanaim, knew that the other ones were saying a different shiur. So you can't compare one person to the other. So it can't be that each one was saying, like, oh, I hold that the world revolves around me, and that's the amount, you know, based on, Gemara is going to say each one is being Mishar Ba'atzma. Gemara is going to say each one was saying how long it takes them to have Bia. So why would they assume, they know that there are eight other opinions, so why would they assume that it would be based on how long it takes them personally to have Bia? Plus, says the Arachama, a no-waif, an adulterer, is much more likely to be much more quick in his Bia, because he's afraid of getting caught. He's afraid that the husband's going to walk in, he's afraid of getting caught, so he's much more likely to be much quicker. So that's what the Arachama suggests, that you find that by certain holy Tanaim, the Gemara Nedarim Daf Chav says about Rabbi Eliezer that he would have Tashma Shamita Kamisha Kafa Ushaid, that he was always Memaher Machmas Yira, that he had with this tremendous Yira Shamayim as if he was being forced by a shade. So he also had this tremendous sense of fear, like a Noef would have, Lahavdil, like a Noef would have, and that's what each one is saying, that each of these Tanaim were perhaps knowing this way, and they were trying to figure out not not the average time that it should take a normal person to have tashmish. They were saying if a person is trying to have tashmish as quickly as possible, like the Hanhaga of Rabbi Eliezer recorded in Maseches Nedarim, so each one was trying to figure out what the quickest time that a person would be able to have tashmish. Okay, but these are all the different shitos. It says, why do I need all of these shiurim? The Tanish have just written shir stiru, which is the kidei tuma, which say the first one kidei kafas dekel. So says more tzrichi. No, So the Gemara says we need all of the shiurim of the first Tana. The Itana, if the Tana would have written kidei tuma, have meaning kidei tuma va'artzusa. So kamashmal kidei bia. Meaning what the Gemara was asking was that yes, we have eight different opinions, but the first opinion was three different opinions. Meaning the first opinion said kidei tuma, kidei bia, kidei hara, kidei kafas dekel div Rabbi Yishmael. So that's a lot of different things. Why does Rabbi Yishmael have to say kidei tuma, kidei bia, kidei hara, kidei kafas dekel? Why do you have to mention all those different things? So if it only would have said kidei tuma, I would have said kidei tuma va'artzusa. That's not the amount of time for the avera itself plus the amount of time that it would take to seduce her. So kamash milan kidei bia. That's why he says kidei bia, that the shear of the tuma is only the amount of time that it takes to have the bia alone. V'itana kidei bia. And if it only would have said kidei bia without saying kidei hara, have mean kidei gemar bia, I would think that the shear is kidei gemar bia. So kamash milan kidei hara. That's why it has to tell me kidei hara. So it's just enough to do neshikas ever. You don't need beyond neshikas ever. Because we paskin, Rashi points out in Maseches Yevamos, that ha'ara is considered kigemar bia l'kali surei arayos. As far as the surim are concerned, there's no difference between ha'ara and gemar bia. V'yashmin kidei hara. And if it only would have told me kidei hara, avmina kidei hara of artusa, I would have said that it's the amount of time to do hara plus to convince her to have that bia. So kamash milan kidei tuma. That's why it tells me kidei tuma. So from the fact that it said both kidei tuma and kidei hara, so I know that it has that it's just the amount of time for the bia itself. V'kama kidei hara. How long is that? Kidei kafas tekel. All that is the amount of time that it takes, Rakafas Dekel. So Rabbi Shmuel said four different things, but they were not really four different things. It was just a way of expressing that it's the amount of time to have Bia, which measures at Kidei Akafas Dekel. So now says Mar Uminhi, but I'll bring you another Brisa, and there are stiras all over the place now between the Brisa we're about to quote and the Brisa we just quoted. Vinistra, the Pasuk says, Vikamashir Stira. So the Brisa wants to know, what is the Shir Stira? Lo Shamanu, we don't have it doesn't say in the Pasuk. So Kshomer Vihinitma'a, when it says that she becomes Tamei, Havi Omer Kidei Tumah. Oh, must be that the Shir Stira is the amount of time that it takes to do Tumah, the amount of time that it takes to have Bia, Kidei Hara, Kidei Chazaras Dekel, Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. That is Rabbi Eliezer's opinion, that it's all of those things, which, by the way, in the previous Brisa was Divrei Rabbi Yishmael. Now it's Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. That's Shir. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Kidei Mizigas HaKos, the amount of time that it takes to dilute the wine with water. Ben Azei Omer, Kidei L'shtoso, the amount of time that it takes to drink a cup of wine that is diluted with water. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Kidei L'tzos Beitza, the amount of time that it takes to roast an egg. Rabbi Yudba Maseir Omer, Kidei Lugoma, the amount of time that it takes to swallow a roasted egg. So Kasal Gadaitin, we're working with the assumption, Hainu Hakafas Dekel, Hainu Chazaras Dekel, that when we use the term Hakafas Dekel, that's the same as the term Chazaras Dekel, that they mean the same thing. Chazaras Dekel means the amount of time that it takes a person to walk around and go back to his starting point. So Hasam Amar Rabbi Yishmael Kidei Hakafas Dekel, Upalig Rabbi Eliezer Alei. In the first Brisa, Rabbi Yishmael was the one that said Kidei Hakafas Dekel, and Rabbi Eliezer disagreed in the first Brisa. And Hacha Amar Rabbi Eliezer Kidei Chazaras Dekel. And over here it's Rabbi Eliezer who's saying Kidei Chazaras Dekel. So if Chazaras Dekel and Hakafas Dekel mean the same thing, how come in the first Brisa Rabbi Eliezer rejected it, and in the second Brisa Rabbi Eliezer is the Baal Meimra, is the one that says that that's the Shir? So Amar Abaye Hakafa Beregel Chazar Beruach. No. No, they mean different things. Hakafa means the amount of time that it takes to walk around the dekel. Chazara means that if the dekel was swayed by the wind, the amount of time that it would take for the dekel to go back into place. So by Ravashi, Chazara Beruach Kiyechi Da Ozel V'Hadarasi, does that mean the amount of time that it would take for it to go back to its original place? Or is it the amount of time that it would stop shaking, meaning it would not just swing back, but then, you know, it would go back and forth a little bit, so the amount amount of time that it would take for it to stop shaking. So it says Gemara Tekum. We're not sure about that, but at least we know that Kedei HaKafa Stekel and Kedei Chazara Stekel are not the same thing. But there are more stiras over here. Hasam Amar Rabbi Eliezer, in the first price, so Rabbi Eliezer is the one that said Kedei Mezikas HaKos, the amount of time that it takes to dilute a cup of wine. Hacha Kedei Chazara Stekel. And over here he says Kedei Chazara Stekel. Why would he say two different shiurim? Says Gemara, Idivi, Idi Chad Shiuruhu. Who says those are two different shiurim? Maybe the exact amount of time that it takes to have a branch of a dekel go back into place is the exact amount of time that it takes to dilute a cup of wine. Another stira though, Hasam Amar Rabbi Yoshua, in the first price of Rabbi Yoshua, it said that the shiur of tumah is kedei lishtoso, the amount of time that it takes to drink a diluted cup of wine. But hacha amar kedei mizigasakos. In the second price, he says the amount of time that it takes to be mozeg a kos of wine, which is Rabbi Eliezer shita in the first price, which he disagreed with. Which is interesting. The Gemara is asking a stira within Rabbi Shua. It doesn't ask that Rabbi Shua openly rejected this shita in the first brisa. That Rabbi Eliezer was the Baal Meimra of this shita in the first brisa, and Rabbi Shua openly rejected it in that first brisa. So that's what the Achronim point out. Yeah, because it's better to ask a direct stira than to ask like that. Meaning, over here you have a direct stira between two different things that he said. So that's a stronger kasha than to say, how come he rejected that shita in the first brisa and then stated the shita in the second brisa? So answers the Gemara, Ema kedei limzog velishtos. Rabbi Shua says the shir is kedei meziga. It means the amount of time that it takes to be mozik the kos and to drink it. Because stam meziga is for the purpose of drinking it right away. They would only be mozik the kos right when they were ready to drink. You wouldn't be mozik the yayin and then put it in the refrigerator, because it would spoil, it would go bad. So they would only be mozik the yayin when they were ready to drink. They also didn't have refrigerators, but they would only be mozik the yayin when it was time to drink the yayin. But that's where Rabbi Shua says kedei l'shtoso in one brisa and kedei mezigas hakos in the other brisa, because it's both. It's the combination of the two of them. So now the Gemara says, well, why does why do we change Rabbi Yeshua from the pashtus and say that he means that you have to, it's kedei meziga ushtia v'lemi idivi idichachiru. Isn't there an easier answer? Why not just say that kedei meziga and kedei shtia are the same shear? Instead of combining what he says in the two brises and saying that it's double the shear of what it sounds like he's saying, why not just say that meziga and shtia take the same amount of time? Well, imkein hainu Rabbi Eliezer. No, the problem would then be that then he'd be conforming to the shita of Rabbi Eliezer in the first brisa, who said that the shear is kedei meziga sakos, but Rabbi Shua rejected Rabbi Eliezer in the first brisa, so he can't be saying the shear is kedei meziga sakos. Oh, so Rabbi Shua must be saying that the shear is kedei meziga plus kedei shtia, which is longer than the shear that Rabbi Eliezer gave. And that's why we can't say that they're the same. Another stira, Hasam Amar Ben Azai, in the first price of Ben Azai, who said kedei litzos beitz, the amount of time that it takes to roast an egg. Hacha Amar kedei lishtoso. And over here he says the amount of time that it takes to drink a diluted cup of wine. So it says, yeah, idivi idichachiruhu. If you time the amount of time it takes to roast an egg, which, on, you know, it's difficult shiurim, right? Meaning, roast an egg, how big is the fire? How big is the egg, right? Meaning, there are factors that go into this. So we should say, an eish beinani. What's an eish beinani, right? How big is an eish beinani? Very difficult to understand, like how you can have like a set shear for this. But says Gemara, it's the same shear as kedei mezikas hakos. Okay, Hasam Amar Rabbi Akiva. So over there, in the first price, Rabbi Akiva said another stira, kedei lagoma, the amount of time that it takes to swallow a roasted egg. Hacha Amar kedei litzel spetz. And over here, he says the amount of time that it takes to roast the egg. Say ema kedei litzel spetz of vilagoma. Rabbi Akiva must mean the combination of the two. That is the amount of time that it takes to roast the egg and then to eat the egg, because why else are you roasting it if not to eat it right away? A roasted egg a few days before Pesach, that counts, right? Good, that's yomi coincidence. Maybe they're both talking about the same shear. Maybe roasting an egg and eating an egg are the same shear, so you don't have to say that Rabbi Kiva is a combo of the two. Maybe it's just that it's one or the other, but they're both the same shear. No, because imkein hainu ben azai, then you'd be saying the same thing as ben azai, because we already said that the shear of kedei shtia sakar is the same as kedei litzos beitza. So what would Rabbi Akiva be disagreeing with Ben Azai about? Another stira. Hasam Amar Rabbi Yehuda Meseira, in the first place, Rabbi Yehuda Meseira said kedei l'gma shalosh beitz mizoach hazu, is to swallow the amount of time it takes to swallow three beitzim one after the other. Hacha, but in the second brisa, Amar kedei l'gom'ah, to swallow one egg. So clearly swallowing one egg takes less time than swallowing three eggs. So says Gemara, you're right. L'dvarav d'Rabbi Akiva kabar. Rabbi Akiva Seira in the first brisa was speaking to Rabbi Akiva within the sheet of Rabbi Akiva. D'ka'amar, Rabbi Akiva had said, Misharim b'tzliya u'begmiya. Rabbi Akiva thought that we measure the time based on the combination of tzliya and gemiya, of roasting the egg and swallowing the egg. So comes on Rabbi Akiva Seira and he says, no, instead of making a zman that relates to two different pu'ulos, that relates to two different actions, cooking and then eating, ema shir gemiyah l'chuda. Just say the shir in terms of eating alone. And but it takes longer than to eat an egg. Okay, k'day l'dmar shalosh beitzim zo'achazu. So say it in a number that makes sense. So say in the amount of time that it takes to swallow three eggs, d'hainu tzliya gemiyah, which would conform to what Rabbi Akiva in fact said, which is the combination of roasting the egg and swallowing the egg. So apparently roasting an egg takes the amount of time that it takes to swallow two eggs, right? And that's how shalosh beitzim zo'achazu turns out to be the same shir as k'day tzliya u'gemiyah. So he's actually not arguing, meaning it turns out that these two shittos aren't arguing in the shir, they're just arguing in the best way to express the shir. That Rabbi Akiva says, k'day tzliya u'gemiyah, so Rabbi Akiva is just saying, that's a poor way to express it. Just say, k'day gemiyah, sholosh beitzim zohar chazu, but I agree with your shir. So therefore, even though we have 9 to 9, we only have 8 shittos because of those two. Those two are the same. Rabbi Elazar ben Yirmiya Omer, the amount of time that it takes for a weaver to repair a broken string. So Gemara is just going to raise questions within each shita. So by Ravashi, when the strings are very far apart from each other and you have to really pull them to get close to each other just to repair them, or if they're very close to each other and it won't take as much time to repair it. Teiku, we're not sure. Chanan ben Pinchas Omer, we also said in the Braisa that that one of the Shiurim, Chanan ben Pinchas said, is the amount of time that it would take to stick her hand in her mouth to pull out something that's stuck between her teeth. So, by Rav Ashi, the mahadik, the lo mahadik, how tightly is it stuck between her teeth? If it's stuck very tightly, it will take a little longer than if it's fairly loose. Take, we're not sure. Plema Omer, kadesh tosh yadu lasa litol kikar, the amount of time it would take to stick her hand in a basket to pull out a loaf of bread. So, by Rav Ashi, the mahadik, the lo mahadik, how tightly connected to the basket is the bread? And not only that, the chad Batika, is it a brand new basket where there are still loose ends that may be sticking into the bread and will be harder to reach into? Or is it an old basket that's already been used many times and the inside is therefore entirely smooth? Bechamima bekarira, is it a hot loaf of bread which is hard to take out? It will slip out of your hands more easily, not to mention if it will burn your hand. You ever have like that hot challah that you have to cut? So, but we're talking about a woman over here, so it wouldn't burn her hands. But we're talking about where it's hot, where it gets very slippery, or bukariro, or is it maybe a cold loaf of bread? Bildechiti or bedesari, is it a loaf of wheat bread or barley bread? Apparently, wheat bread is much smoother than barley bread. Birikicha or baakusha, is it made from a thinner batter or a thicker kind of dough? Where it could be that if it's made from a thicker dough, so it will be easier to grab it. So take the Gemara leaves all of these as a teku, meaning the Gemara is just highlighting that it's very hard to use any of these shiurim because there are so many details. Like we said before, the Gemara doesn't raise all the issues you could raise with all of these shiurim, but you could raise similar issues about every single one of the shiurim, right? The roasting the egg, we said, how big a flame, how big a net, right? All of those things, you could raise these issues. So it's just very difficult to measure based on these shiurim. So we had 9 tanaim, 8 different shitos. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak bar Yosef, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, kalech everyone was just speaking from their own experience. Frankly, Gemara Vayika Ben Azai Delo Nasiv, but Ben Azai never got married. Right? Ben Azai was one that Gemara in Yevama says. He said, "Ma esa shachashka nafshi b'tara." I know that there's mitzvah puravu. What can I do? Chashka nafshi b'tara. All I ever want to do is learn, and therefore he never got married. So says Gemara, 3 possible answers. Ibai say Manasiv Pirushava. It could be that he got married, it didn't work out, meaning because he just couldn't. He couldn't be married. Ibai Yisema Mirabei Shmiel. Or he had a mitzvah from his own Rebbe, so he wasn't speaking from his own personal experience, he was speaking from what he learned from his Rebbe, and the mitzvah was such a reality to him that was ki'ilu, was his own personal experience. V'yibayseima, sod Hashem li'reyev. Or HaKadosh Baruch Hu was megalatim in Hashemayim if he ever were to have a wife, how long it would take him to have bia. Maritzchius raises the question over here, as he does wherever these kinds of things come up, how could you pasken halacha based on surah Hashem Nireyach? You know, this is the Torah's lo b'shamayim. You're not supposed to pasken halachas based on something that's revealed to a person min ha-shamayim. Torah Rav Avira, zim nomer l'mishmed Rabbi Ami, v'zim nomer l'mishmed Rabbi Asi. Rav Avira said, sometimes the name Rabbi Ami, sometimes the name of Rabbi Asi. Kala ochel lechem, once we're talking about bread, we're not really talking about bread, but one of the shiurim of tumah that we mentioned is the amount of time that it takes to take bread out of a basket. So once we're talking about bread, kala ochel lechem b'lo netilas yadayim, kilu ba al isha zona. That anyone who eats bread without netilas yadayim, it's as if he's been boel an isha zona. Shenemar, ki ba'ad isha zona, ad kikar lechem. That the pasuk Mishlei apparently is comparing an isha zona to a kikar lechem. That just like a zona is mufkeres, so too someone who eats without netilas yadayim is eating an achila mufkeres. That's what the Tosfos Shatz writes. It's like Hefker, that he can just do whatever he wants in terms of fulfilling his desires. The Meiri says that it's similar to znus and that he's being memale tavaso with something that's not ra'ilo, something that's not appropriate for him. The Maral points out, based on the Gemara and Brachos, that we learn netilas yadayim kodem asuda from the pasuk of vihiskadashtem. So if you eat without netilas yadayim, it's eating without going through a kiddushin first. It's eating without vizkadashtem, without going through a process of kedusha in advance of the achila. Ooh, so that you understand. That's what the comparison is to bias nus. What's bias nus? Having bia without going through kiddushin first, without having the proper preparation of the kiddushin in order to allow for the bia. You have such a similar line in the Yerushalmi about Erev Pesach. Kol ochel matzah on Erev Pesach skilu ba al arusasu bebeis chamav. That somehow achila is associated, right? Achila that's not done with the proper protocols is associated with the bia that's not done with the proper protocols. So this is not entirely unique. Amarava, hai ba'ad isha zona ad kikar lechem, ba'ad kikar lechem ad isha zona mi ba'ilei. That's what it should have said. When it says ba'ad and ad, it implies that because of this, you get to, because of ba'ad, the first thing, you get to the second thing. So since ba'ad is written by isha zona and ad is written by kikar lechem, it sounds more like the pasuk is saying that because of what you do with the isha zona, you're going to get to the aver of kikar lechem and not the other way around. I mean, we're saying that someone who eats below netilas yadayim, oh, that's like isha zona, but it really sounds like saying the reverse. Ella Maravis Maravis says, no, here's what it really means. That if a person is bol in isha zona, he's going to become so poor that he's going to be begging for food at some point. That znus brings a person to anius. That's what the remez they say is that al netilas yadayim is rashi tevos of ani. That lack of netilas yadayim is also brings a person to anius. The Paskin Mishle says the roez zonos ya'abed hon, that a person loses a fortune by going after zonos, by going after znus. So once we mentioned Rav Avira about someone who eats lechem below netilas yadayim, another memra. Amar Rabbi Zrika, Amar Rabbi Lozer, kol mezalzel netilas yadayim, a nekar min ha'olam. Anyone who's mezalzel netilas yadayim is uprooted from the world because he's violating divrei chacham, mis chayev misa. And pasuk says in Koheles, paritz gedir yishchenu nachash. Amar Rabbi Chiya Barashi, Amar Rav, mayim rishonim tzorech sheyabia yadav lemayla. When a person washes his hands before the meal, he's supposed to lift his hands up so that the tips of his fingers are facing upward, and the water will go down toward his wrist, toward his arm. Whereas mayim achronim, when a person washes mayim achronim to wash off the melech's domus, so tzorech sheyashpil yadav lemata. He wants to put his hands lower so that it will drip off, not further onto his hands, but it will drip off of his hands entirely. So the zuama of whatever's on his hand will go to the karka, will go down to the ground. The reason you lift your hands lamaila by mayim rishonim is because if you were to put your hands lamata, so whatever would become tame, the water that becomes tame over here would then drip down and be metame the fingers again. So you do it like this so that the water that becomes tame by the palm of your hand will stay at least from there there and down. So that's why we do a second netila to wash off any water that's tamei also. But the better way to do it is to be magbia yadav lemaila, that a person should elevate, should lift his hands lemaila. And that's the remez there from the pasuk in Yeshaya, vayinatleim vayinasim, that after you notel yadayim vayinasim. The Torah quotes such a remez from the pasuk, that after you notel yadayim, you lift up your hands in that way. Tanya nami achim, if Brisa says just like this, hanotel yadav tzorek sheyagbia yadav lemaila, that if a person doesn't til sidayim, he should lift his hands up, because if Rosh Hashanah were lemata, shami yetzah mayim chutz leperek, we're afraid that the water is going to go chutz leperek, it's going to go onto the arm, v'yachzu v'yitamus yadayim, and it's going to return, and it's going to come back and be metame the yadayim. If you have less than a revius of mayim in the kli, you need to be notel shnei pamim. The mayim rishonim is metar the yadayim, but the mayim themselves become tame from the yadayim. So you need to do a second netila in order to be metar the mayim that's on your hands. And it says over there in Maseches Yadayim that a yadayim metamos and metaros ad haperek, that only min haperek ulamata, with Chazal Burgoza, that the yadayim have a din of shniyah l'tuma as far as tshuma is concerned. They're metar al yaday netila only ad haperek. So if a person is notel mayim rishonim only ad haperek, and the mayim hashniyim he does chutz l'perek, meaning it goes beyond the joints, so then his hand is going to be tahar. But if he does the mayim rishonim chutz l'perek and the shniyim only ad haperek, and then the water from the mayim rishonim comes back, so then it's going to be metamei the yadayim. So that's what we say, don't risk it, just hold the hands up so that the water doesn't come back. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, kol ochel pas below niguv yadayim, if a person eats bread without drying his hands first, kilu ochel lechem tamei, it's as if he's eating lechem tamei, which means disgusting bread. Shenem Rav Yom Hashem kach yochel b'nei Yisrael es lachmam tamei, and the pasuk is referring to the pasuk that's prior to that, where Kodesh Baruch Hu says to Yecheskel that he should make a bread out of barley, and he should knead it in tzoas adam in order to show how awful it is that their lechem is so disgusting that it's called lechem tamei. So you see that the concept that if a person eats with wet hands, it's ki'ilu ochel lechem tamei. That's why niguv yadayim is considered part of the netilas yadayim process. Right, meaning that's why we're allowed to make a bracha after the netilah, so long as we're saying the bracha prior to the niguv, because niguv is critical, because you're not supposed to eat with wet hands. It's a question whether you need a maisa niguv. What if you just allow your hands to air dry? I remember I gave a shiur about this, I actually wrote about it in my second sefer, when in Camp Kaylee they got tired of paper towels all over the place every day, so they installed air dryers by the netilas yadayim stations. So I remember Maish Wien's chronal bracha, was like, he was so happy they finally installed that, so it wasn't a mess all the time. The shaila was, is that a niguv? It's just air that's hitting your hands. You're not actually doing any maisa. So the answer is it's fine. Not on Shabbos. On Shabbos they unplug it and it's a mess with paper towels. But the shaila is if that's a niguv yadayim. But we say a bracha after the netilas yadayim for whatever reason. Tosfos talks about pesachim. But it's a shaila, why are you allowed to say bracha after you already did the mitzvah? So the way we justify it is we say, oh, but it's before the niguv. So we're still involved in the mitzvah. The mitzvah is not over yet. So a person should be careful about this. Sometimes we're rushing to wash, and we're rushing so much to wash, we've already dried our hands by the time we say netilas yadayim. Just take a moment, say netilas yadayim, and then dry your hands so that it's a little bit of an overlas yasad. Also, people make the common mistake of thinking that they're allowed to talk after they wash before they made the bracha. That is incorrect, right? Meaning the bracha is really going on the washing. So you're absolutely not allowed to talk after washing before the bracha. It's much better. If you want to be mafsik, you shouldn't be mafsik from the whole process. But if you want to be mafsik, it's better to be mafsik after the bracha before you have the hamotzi than it is to be mafsik after the netila before the bracha. So it says Gemara Vayta. Now, how do we explain the hemshich of the pasuk? Ve'ishasish nefesh yikara tatsud. So Amar Rabbi Bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, chaladim sheish bogasos haruach. Anyone who's a bal gaiva lebesof nichshal be'ishasish. Eventually he'll be nichshal with an eishasish. Ne'emar ve'ishasish Ish Nefesh Yikara Tatsun. It happens to be people who are Baligaiva tend to think that they can get away with whatever they want, and nothing, and there are never going to be consequences to their actions, and they end up in all sorts of scandals and things like that. Look around the world, you see that these things happen. So Amar Rava, Hi Nefesh Yikara, another Daf Yomi coincidence. Right? Hi Nefesh Yikara. So says the Gemara that Nefesh Gavoa Mi Baile. Why does it call that a Nefesh Yikara? It should call it a Nefesh Gavoa Va'od. And in addition to that, He Tatsud Mi Baile. It should have said He Tatsud, because that's how you're darshing the pasuk from the end to the beginning, that the Nefesh Yikara is Tatsud the Yeshus Ish. So it should have said He Tatsud. That then it would be mashma that the Nefesh Yikara is Tatsud. Ella Amar Rava Kala Baal Yeshus Ish. No, what the pasuk is teaching me is anyone who's Baal and Yeshus Ish, Afilu Lama Torah, even if he learned Torah, Dirsiv by Yikara Yimi Pedinim. And about Torah, we know that it's more precious than the most precious pearls. Mikoyim Gadol Shenichnas Lefnei VeLefnim. And what does it mean, Mipninim? It means someone who's a Talmud Chacham is more precious than the Koyim Gadol who goes Lefnei VeLefnim. Right? Afilu Mamzer Talmud Chacham is Kodem LeKoyim Gadol Am Haaretz. So it's the most precious thing. But if such a Talmud Chacham is Bol and Eishes Ish, he Tzedena LeDina Shal Gehenim. She's going to schlep him to Gehenim. He's going to have to face Dina Shal Gehenim. Amar Rabbi Yochum Mishum Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai. Kol Adam Sheish Bagas HaRuach. Anyone who's Bal Gaiva, Kilu Oved Avod Chavim. It's as if he's Oved Avod Zara. Ksiv Hacha to Avas Hashem Kol Gva Lev. Uksiv Hasam Lo Tavi Toeva El Beisecha. I think the Rambam has by Kol HaKoes is Kilu Oved Avod Zara. I think that's one of the places the Rambam has. And when you get Edram quotes this also, that Bal Gaiva is Kilu Oved Avod Zara. I think Kol HaKoes, if I'm not mistaken, does not appear in Shas. And that's, it appears in Zohar. So that's one of the two things the Rambam quotes in all of Rambam that comes from that only appears in Zohar, and the Rambam didn't have a Zohar. So that's like a mystery of where in the world did the Rambam get these words. But over here it's about Gas HaRuach. So this is in the Gemara that anyone who has a gaiva, it's as if he's over the Avodah Zarah. And because the pasuk says Tavas Hashem Kol Gvalev and Vlo Tavi Toeva El Beisecha, referring to Tavod Zara. In the Anaf Yosef, he explains that every mila that a person has over another person is Ka'ayin Ve'efes Neged HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I mean, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so infinite. Whatever mila you have over another person is nothing. So by being machshiv the mila that a person has over another person, by being a balgaiv and being machshiv that mila, it's as if you're saying that there's some that. It's as if you're limiting HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because you're saying that it means something in the grand scheme of things. You know, like a friend of mine has a child with significant special needs, and he was talking to Rav Shabtai Rappaport. He was asking Rav Shabtai Rappaport for Hadracha and Eitzah, and Rappaport said to him, think of it like this. Klape HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, like what, your child's ability to understand Hashem is here, your ability to understand Hashem is here, and then there's like HaKadosh Baruch, meaning like it's the difference is minuscule in the grand scheme of things. Our ability to understand anything is so tiny to begin with. So once you're being machshiv that difference, by being machshiv that difference, you eliminate HaKadosh Baruch, and that's kfira. That's the kilu ovid avodah zarah. Rabbi Yochanan didei amar. Rabbi Yochanan himself said kilu kafar beikar. As if he's denying HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shamar v'ram levavecha v'shachta es Hashem elkecha. Person has a sense of gaiva. He forgets HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rabbi Chaim Rechanina amar kilu ba. It's as if he was bowl all the arayos. So you see, Gilei Arayos is called the Toeva. Ula Amar Kilu Bana Bama, that a person who's a Baal Gaiv, it's as if you built a Bama to bring Karbonis. That it's as if it's considered that it's a Bama. So my Yad Liad Lo Yinake, what does the pasuk mean when it says Yad Liad Lo Yinake? Amarav kol sheish bagasas haruach afilu hikno laKadosh Baruch Hu shemayim vaaretz. Even if HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave shemayim vaaretz for him, Avraham Avinu, like Avraham Avinu, that he was meshabeach HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was kone shemayim vaaretz, dechsiv bei harimosi yodi el Hashem kel elyon kone shemayim vaaretz, still lo yinakam midina shel ganim. Even though he recognized recognizes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Kone Shemayim Varetz, and he's the one that recognizes HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But if a person is a Bal Gaiva, then Le'inakam Dina Shel Gehenim, then he's not going to be saved from Dina Shel Gehenim. So that's what it means, that even if Yad the Yad, that he's Mishabeach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like Avraham Avinu was Mishabeach HaKadosh Baruch Hu with Harimosi Yadi, still he's not going to be Naki Midina Shel Gehenim. Kashal l'debei Rabbi Shila, the Talmidim in the Beis Medrash Rabbi Shila had the following question: if we darsh in the pasuk Yad liyad to be referring to Avraham Avinu Sari Mosi Yadi, Hayad liyad lo yinake Yadi mi bayale, it should say Yadi lo yinake. So because Sari Mosi Yadi, it's not Yad liyad, it's Yadi. So it says Mara Ella Amri debei Rabbi Shila, Afilu kibel Torah kemosher Rabbeinu. It means if a person is a bal gaiva, even if he was mekabel the Torah like Moshe Rabbeinu, d'chsiv bei mi. Right, that the Torah was given from the Yad Yamin of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, lo yinaka midina shel gehenim. That even it was given miyad liyad to this person. Kashal el Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan's brother, ha yad liyad, yad miyad mi bayle. That's Moshe Rabbeinu got miyad from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mi yamino esh tas lamo. Elam Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan says, no, it's afilu asa tzedaka beseser, tzichsiv matan beseser yichva af, lo yinaka midina shel gehenim. Even if a person does an even greater thing, he gives tzedaka beseser, which is the greatest thing that holds back Hashem's anger, but if he's about Gaiva, he's not going to be Yinaka Medina Shel Gehenim. Okay, B'Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up from Asara Legasi Aruach, three lines from the top of the page. Have a great day, everybody.